for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216.
Coming out in a couple months. Hey, everybody, it's Hump Day. Can you tell what's going on in the background? It's the intro from Adam Hartmother. It's not just kitchen noises and stuff like we thought.
Uh-uh. There is a track on there, I think, though.
It sounds like Frank Zappa, kind of, a little bit. This was, what, 69? 70? Mm-hmm.
He was orchestrating this shit for me.
This is the 69 album Adam Hartmother. It doesn't say.
So, as this is before. Let it be, let it be.
Barely.
Right, because that was 70, right?
Yeah, but they recorded it. They were recording it probably right at the same time.
Maybe even in the same studios, because Pink Floyd recorded
Abbey Road.
Piper.
At Abbey Road, right?
Yeah, right down the street from, or it was at the same time that Sgt. Pepper's was being recorded there.
Huh. Wow.
And I think those boys even dropped by the Pink Floyd guys. Like, you know, I mean, if it's in the same studio,
yeah,
shared rooms.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Terry and Gaz Comedy Show.
Hello and welcome.
It's a Wednesday and we kind of got off kilter there. Holidays have been fucking us up and just life in general. You heard on our last couple shows, I was saying that June was fucked.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we need some donations, and we're back here on a Wednesday. We had a late 4th of July show.
Mm-hmm. 4th of July, I mean,
it was
the 4th
of July
weekend.
It was the 4th of July on Monday this time, so.
Yep, some people got Monday off.
Sorry, Hans, I misdirected you earlier via email saying that we would have another episode, but it came out Monday. You got it. Mm-hmm. He's still listening back. He's like on 312, 315 somewhere.
Yep. So, yeah. And the last one, we recorded on Wednesday, and I recorded on a Thursday, and I wanted to give a little space. And next thing I know, Saturday's rolling around, and I'm like, well, maybe.
And then I got the country fair coming up. I'm going to be gone, and then.
Take a little pressure off of you having to, like, get back and. You know.
Yeah, and that way we can still have 3 episodes a week for the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fuck yeah. So yeah, this year marks the 20th anniversary. That's why we're playing Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd's 14th final album, Division Bell, came out in 94.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I know, dude.
Because I remember when that was new. And, you know, I mean, I was a younger generation Floyd fan.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I was getting into him in the 90s when that box set was one of the first big purchases I made of when box sets were popular. I can't remember which one it was. It was the one with the chick on the front and the real small, but then it had like the early singles album on there and then 9 other albums. And the wall came with it. And I remember my set had 2 wall disc ones.
Huh.
Like the
was it supposed to be 1 and 2?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 1 and 2.
Oh,
but in
so
the
you
thing,
got Jip,
yeah.
But it was like a one of a kind.
It was, and there was this store in Salem, this entertainment store going out of business at the time. And so we all went there, and we were all Floyd fans, like 4 of us, and one of us had the set already, and so the other 3 of us bought it there because it was like 70% off box set, so it was like $30.
Yeah.
For 10 discs and a nice book. Oh, Shine On. That was the box set, what it was called.
Okay.
And so that's when I was getting into the Piper at the Gates of Dawn, hearing that kind of stuff for the first time. And this was one of my favorite covers.
Yeah.
Because I painted this cover in acrylic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with that cow on the pasture and stuff. And it was always one of my favorite paintings because, I mean, you know, it's a cow and... Yeah, I don't really do like try to mimic other paintings very much, but it's just a cow on the cover, and the album's so weird.
Yeah, and you know, I know this news is at least 5 days old to anybody, because I heard on Saturday evening about the new Pink Floyd coming out, but so we're going to talk about it today, and we were talking before we got to recording today about how their album covers are so iconic and so one of a kind, and how they never show any of the band members or really even have a logo except for, you know, the wall said Pink Floyd on it, and mm-hmm. they might have all said Pink Floyd, but it wasn't about the band. It was more about the imagery. But a new album, though, they're also going to do a deluxe reissue of The Division Bell for the 20th anniversary. And when is it coming out? October will mark the release of the new LP entitled The Endless River.
Mm-hmm.
The news was revealed by Gilmore's wife on Twitter. They just announced it on Twitter now. No press conferences, just tweet. Just going to tweet it.
Yeah.
It says the album is based on the 94 sessions with Pink Floyd's Richard Wright. And I don't believe he's in the band anymore. Is that true? Has he been out since when?
I'm not sure if he left the band or was dismissed, or if he's just... went on to do other things.
And you know that black chick that toured with him through the 80s, Durga? Was she actually on that album? Or
I don't know. I think she sang
those parts.
She might have in
probably
the studio,
the
and then she
Her
might
name's
have
Durga.
She might have toured with them, or they might have had Durga Durga?
Durga McBroom.
All right. All right.
She toured with him throughout the 80s, and she's revealing further details on her Facebook page, saying that the recording did start during Division Bell sessions, and the side project was originally titled The Big Spliff.
Huh.
You don't remember that?
No.
Nick Mason had spoke about it in 95. That's why there's some Richard Wright tracks on it, but David and Nick have gone in and done a lot more work since then. It was going to be an instrumental originally, but now there's some singing on it. There's going to be at least one song with singing. It might all be... the rest of it might all be... instrumental. So far, we're about who knows how many minutes in right now to Adam Hart Mother.
Mm-hmm.
We're 7 minutes in, no singing so far. So they're no strangers to the instrumental rock.
Yep. Yeah. This is, the album's just got a cow on the front in a pasture.
Yeah.
And the band wanted to explore all sorts of music without being limited to a particular image or style or performance. So they wanted something plain, so... Storm Thorgerson, who did, you know, a lot of their stuff.
Most of it, and he recently, mm-hmm. well, within the last year, passed away.
Inspired by...
Rip Storm!
He was inspired by Andy Warhol's cow wallpaper. He drove out to Potter's Bar and photographed the first cow he saw. And the owner said her name was Lulu Bell III. More cows.
Oh, Lulu Bell.
Appear on the back cover, and there's no title text on either side to show what it is, or on the inside of the gatefold there wasn't either.
Huh.
A pink balloon shaped like a cow udder accompanied the album as part of the marketing strategy to break the band in the U.S. Oh, that'd be a good one to get, man, with the udder balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's what that kind of answers into a little bit of the question I was asking you before we started recording about, do you think that was an intentional thing that they did with the imagery and the way that they portrayed their album covers? I mean, to some people, it's not important. They just throw a picture of the band on there,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they were... they thought about all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The artwork was very important to them. But they always used that guy and his group of people, the hypnosis team or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so you got about 3 months, and we'll have a new Pink Floyd album floating around.
That is nuts.
That is crazy.
I just remember, I wonder if when they release the Division Bell again, if they'll do, if they'll talk about the... Publius Enigma and that whole thing that was that internet
Publius
thing that they tried to get going. It was like an internet marketing thing.
What
you
talking
about? Like, it was like a puzzle that you had to figure out, and it was within the liner notes, because the liner notes had these little Easter Island. That's what it is, right?
Those statue looking
things.
Yeah,
that was on the front.
Uh-huh.
But they had them in the corners of each page, and they had numbers on them, like they were page numbers.
Okay.
But they were random numbers. It wasn't like 1, 2, 3, 4. It was like 57, 91. And then there online, there is this, you know, little clues online and things. I mean, it's like 97 or something, 94.
Right.
Right? When it, 94.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah. You know, and so I was barely online at that time. And so, you know, but there's clues there. And at one show, Publius Enigma came out in lights. It said across the bottom of the stage. And then they just never really explained it, but it was supposed to be something that the fans were supposed to figure it out, you know, or some kind of weird, you know, Pink Floydian thing going on.
A Floydian strip. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it, and it's kind of cool almost. I mean, I don't mind that Roger Waters isn't involved, but a full album of David Gilmour's vocals would be a bit much, just because...
Don't you have his first studio album?
Yeah, that's all you need, right? I have become comfortably numb. He's just so airy and just like,
yes, he is.
I'm tired and twisted like love.
As a band leader, like too, Pink Floyd is a totally different band with him as a band leader.
Totally. And that's why I'm kind of stoked that it might be almost all instrumental, which is...
It sounds like they've added new stuff to stuff Richard Wright was doing in 1994, right?
Yeah,
they just take recordings of what he was doing then
and build songs out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually add vocals. This sounded like Tab 25 by Monster Magnet for a second.
I thought we should do that with some of our old practice tapes. Just like find one riff, right?
And then
take the one time we played it well, right?
Yeah.
And then loop that, and then find another riff, maybe on a different practice tape that goes with it, and then that's the chorus, and we'll loop that, and bam, dude, we
new
could
song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write some lyrics, throw it on top.
That's right. This is something we were working on 25 years ago. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So at least I made it, and Gatch made it through the 4th of July without blowing off. I didn't even realize it.
Dude, there was a lot of mortars going on.
Fucking more mortar than you would think. Like, and I made it through, and I even tweeted this earlier.
Uh-huh.
I didn't light off one firework this year. Does that
I didn't
make
either.
Does that make me unpatriotic?
Yes.
Well, most people said probably just old, and most other people said no. We just watched them. We did that too. Because it's so stupid, because the ones that are legal are just, like, illegal if you're talking about something else, because you call it a golden shower. I don't think that's legal in Oregon. You can't.
I know, it's funny. All the fireworks are made in China, too.
Yeah, well, you think they don't have golden showers in China?
No, I think they do.
You know what's weird, though? And I don't know, you're a guy. You probably watch as much porn as I or the next guy does, but why is it that Japanese porn, which can be so edgy... with the bondage and everything,
it's
like
always
that.
Blurred out.
They blur out the genitalia.
Dude, it's like their culture thing.
What?
I think it gets them off even more, though. It's like they enjoy their imagination.
You can, like, tie them up and hang them from the roof and beat them with a fucking cat of nine tails, but you can't look at their
back. You got them, like, macrameed by the titties.
You're like,
hanging.
Oh, your titties are just hanging out a little bit because you're all tied up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to beat you with this piece of bamboo.
You roped it down to where you're, it's just
I'm
going to
choke
nipples.
You out with my penis while I slap you in the face, but don't look at my vaginal lips because those are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blur that stuff out.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me at all. That's fucking weird.
It doesn't.
And that's American.
Either.
You know, that's what America is to me. The 4th of July means watching porn without the genitalia burned out. Blurred out. Sorry.
You could just, you know, it'd be fun is if someone was into video editing and they just went and put like cat faces or, you know, like people make weird videos.
Oh, yeah.
They just put like a cat face bouncing around down there so it looks like the guy's got his.
I saw some cat face panties just recently
on
the internet. And so, like, when girls wear short skirts and the paparazzi tries to upskirt them, it literally looked like there was a kitty just looking out. Like she had a kitty between her legs because it's just like a little kitty face.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's dark up inside the skirt, It just looks like she's got a fucking pussy in her pussy.
Mm. That'd be cool if it was glow in the dark.
Meow. Or but those cat eyes that really light up when the fucking camera gets on them.
Or googly eyes.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of cat eyes and googly eyes, have you watched My Cat from Hell recently? Dude, I caught a new episode last night with some Jackson Galaxy. Like, dude, does he have cancer or what? He's fucking skinny motherfucker.
Really?
He just got rich. He must have got rich.
I saw when he changed his burns, though.
Oh, his burns are a little changed, but now he's like...
He's got the ones that go to a point down to his chin, right? Well, but they got a thin layer where he shaves between the other, but the other point's almost all the way back. So that's a lot of fucking grooming, man.
That is, and you think cats groom themselves a lot. Maybe that's why. And I wonder if he follows the same etiquette as he says all cats are supposed to. Pray, eat, groom, sleep. He says, you got to play with them, get them all worn out, and then you give them their food, and then they'll groom themselves, and then they'll go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a movie.
My mom's cat is weird because
I think all cats are weird.
Dude, it'll like meow, right? And then like it wants to be petted, it'll kind of circle you and then...
Headbutt you.
Yeah, sometimes. But then you go, like, follow it, and it'll, like, keep meowing, but it'll walk away. Like, you're trying to go and pet it, and it's like...
Oh, they fuck with you.
It's not running away. It's just slowly walking away, and then it's meowing, and I'm, like, following it, and I'm all, like, hunched over my hand down to fucking ground level.
They do that just to see how far you'll go.
And then it rolls over on its stomach, and then I try to pet it, and then just... scratches.
Yep. It's crazy, and we got a lot of cats at my house right now because our daughter.
37.
It's going up and down, but let's see where we're at. We got the two indoor cats, which are normal, but I think Lucy, the bitch cat that I always complain about, that's Siamese and really cute. I think she's going.
What? It's a conjoined cat.
Why?
Siamese twin cat.
She's a single. It's weird. She's a singular Siamese non-twin. What do you call a non-twin?
I don't know. Maybe they just...
She's a solo Siamese. She's a Siamese solo.
A solo knees.
But I think she's going blind like Gene Simmons in that old Kiss song.
Playing with himself?
Well, maybe. Well, I think I'm going... She really gets cross-eyed and like really has to focus. You try to give her a snack and she's like... I'm a retarded cat. Like, I'm... And then she'll go... So I think that she must have a cat cataract.
Is there anything on its eyes or anything?
No, they're beautiful blue eyes. She's got great eyes. She's a ideal looking cat. But then when you get something in front of her face, she'll kind of go, and her eyes will cross a little like Siamese are kind of cross-eyed.
Yeah.
And most Siamese, I think, are cross-eyed from always trying to look over at their twin.
Yeah. Have you ever seen cats that have that thing on their eyes, like goop? But it's like always on their eye. And
there was one on
like
the fucking cat show that I just
Lance's
was...
old cat had that thing, you know, and they'd get it cleaned, but it just always like it just had an overactive pus gland or something, and it just always have pus hanging over the dude. It just always
I
looked
don't
like
that, dude.
It'd be like
if
man,
my
that'd
cat
be...
barely gets a little bit of a like. I'm pretty
sure
way over conscious of my cat. I pet my cat like 100 times a day.
Yeah, if it's got a little eye booger, you know, you try to get it out of there.
And sometimes she'll come to me and just meow and get the pet, and then you can see I call she's been crying. She's got but it's actually just like eye goop.
Yeah,
but it just looks
just
like
eye boogers.
Just looks like tears. And I'm like, oh, Kate, why are you crying? And then I'll wipe the tears away. And if I see a booger in her eye, you know, I'll get it out of there, and she'll pretty much let me do anything. But yeah, cats. They got freaked out from all the fucking...
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
And see, we've got a great spot in our backyard where we can see... Like, I put a couple pictures up. It looks like I was at an event, but I was just in my backyard. And so my lawnmower was broke for a long time, so I let this backfield part get kind of... So I mowed right where... And I'm not saying anything. Wife, if you're listening, she probably won't because she don't listen anymore. But no, so I mowed this certain part. And then, like, some people come and they try to sit in our spot, but it's our property. Mm-hmm. But they think that it's public property because it's by the car wash. And then, so I don't like to be confrontational.
You just put up a sign ever, just like a couple days before?
No, but we're
going to.
No, we're going to put up some fucking caution tape or some shit. And so this
just for, get some of that orange fence.
I'm going to put up a jukebox. Or a jukebox.
You know what I'm talking about? That orange fence?
That's like plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, you just see like along the highways for like miles.
Yeah.
Dude, I took a trip over to my dentist over in Grand Ronde.
Yeah.
And the miles of that shit, dude. I was like thinking... Somebody had to walk miles and like every, 10, 20 feet, put a stake in there and somebody and walked along and wrapped and stapled
all
that shit
way.
For fucking miles. And I'm thinking, dude.
How long did that take?
I know. You know, you think about the manpower or the man hours that go into, you know, somebody's got to do it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and so and I remember distinctly because we had Jaden last year, and we had our stuff all set up kind of on this little incline. And then when the fireworks started, we realized, oh shit, this isn't the place to be because this tree happens to be in the way. Yeah. We have to be right down here. Well, for some reason, my wife remembered differently, and she wanted to argue with me. And I had mowed this space specifically for our friends who we invited over. We had Sonia and her boyfriend and her son and her and his girlfriend and a couple other. So we had like 6 or 7 guests and our family. It was about 15 people at our house. We had a barbecue. And then we went over there to set up. And she's like, we're setting up here. And she said, sorry, you people that came here from whoever the fuck you are that says you've been here every year for the last 3 years, which is not true. But you guys are going to have to move down. And then I get out there and I go, why are you guys up there? Can't you see where I mowed right here? This is the spot. And she goes, no, this is where I sat last year. And I said, no, we sat there and then the fireworks started. And then we moved down here so we could see them. And she go, and then I didn't want to be a dick and start an argument in front of. So I walked away like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, came over later to get something, and I said, I'm not trying to argue with you, and I don't want to argue with you in front of friends, but so I'm just going to tell you here that I'm sitting down there because that's where we sat, and I'm sorry that we don't agree, and I feel weird because I'm sitting by myself, and then she's got her and our friends up here. And so then another friend comes, and then they go, oh, hi, how you doing? Where's Terry? Oh, he's down there. He's trying to prove a point. I said, I'm not trying to prove a point. And at that point, I'm already probably looking like a dick because it's 4th of July. We're having fun. I'm not trying to prove a point. I'm sitting here because this is where I mowed and this is where I need to sit. Oh, Terry was right. And everybody like moves down there and Dan is all, well, and so to prove a point, she stayed up there. But then when it started, the people that she made move over,
they had a good view.
They couldn't see at all.
Oh, really?
And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, you guys. And so then they moved up a little bit, but not down to where I mowed. She thought that because I took the time, because it was like 4 foot grass, and it took me probably 45 minutes to mow a little spot that should have took like 10 minutes to mow because I had to go.
Yeah, you got to
pop a wheelie.
Manage the,
pop a wheelie, back up, kill it, start it. Fucking sweat my ass off. So she thought because I'd worked so hard that I was just trying to say, well, I mowed this and this is where I'm sitting. When really, that was true. But it was also because that was the spot. And then everybody got all around me and I had the awesome spot. So I'm not always right, but she made a big deal and said, why do you guys always be right? I said, I'm not always right, but when I say, come on, you guys know I'm always right.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's if you put, trait. You need to put like two posts back near the road thing to where you know,
well,
and then you'll just put that orange stuff from your fence around those two posts and
you
all
know
around.
Those metal posts that kind of, they have milepost markers on?
Mm-hmm.
There's a post like that with no milepost marker, and that's like the end of our property. And then there's a telephone pole. And so we already got the. We could just run it from there to
just
there.
Just buy a roll of.
And I know that about 3-4 feet, 3 or 4 feet is an easement, which is actually kind of city property, even though we do pay.
Well, that's fine if they want to sit back there and on, you know, with like 3 feet from the highway as cars going by, they can, right?
Yeah. And she pulled the, I pay taxes on this card to the people, and they go,
but it's not It's not public property.
No, that's what Dana said to those people. This is our property. We pay property taxes on this land. Mm-hmm. It's not public land. And we have friends who we invited over, so we're going to sit here because this is... Certainly. I know you got here before us, but we just... This is our... Mm-hmm. It's connected to our house's land. And then there was a big joke. You want me to go get the deed? I'll go get the fucking deed. You get out your phone with your coordinates on it, and we'll see.
What if you guys had a spot on top of the roof of the car wash?
Dude, we talked about that. That's weird that you would say that.
Would that be a good vantage point?
Dude, that would be because you'd be above the trees. You're a little bit farther away, mm-hmm. so they're going to be a little smaller.
Could you just put a giant piece of plywood over the top of it?
From that to the garage?
Yeah, no, just over the whole building. Piece of plywood. Well, yeah, because, you don't want people falling through, right?
Oh, man. If someone fell through, maybe they'd pay to get it fixed so it didn't leak during the winter. No, but I thought about that, and someone had mentioned it, and they said, hey, what if we were on the car wash roof? And I was like, that'd be kind of cool. But then I'm thinking about it. It's all the way across the parking lot. It's straight across the river. I just karate chopped the mic stand. Mm-hmm. Straight across the river. So it might... You'd be higher. It'd be kind of like that video. Did you see that video that guy flew a drone camera through a fucking fireworks display?
No.
Dude, it was fucking awesome. It was one of those massive, like, Vancouver, British Columbia, or, you know, one of the biggest fireworks displays. And he was just flying right through it. And there was just like... And it was like a high-def camera. It was fucking about 4 or 5 minutes. You'll probably see it online sometime. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty cool. You don't even have to watch fucking fireworks. And God, anybody who's listening who goes out to massive gatherings, it's so ridiculous.
I was so excited about watching fireworks. I watched them from the front of through my front door.
Did they have them? Oh, outside?
Yeah.
What, golden showers and sparklers?
There was some of that, but there's one of the neighbors.
With illegals?
With the... Mota.
Oh.
So
he was being a martyr for the community.
Yeah. Okay. So I, you know, so close actually that I had to like...
Plug your ears?
No. Put my head out the front of the window to like see the display.
Oh, yeah. Because you can't. It's too
high. It was straight up above my head.
Yeah.
But, but after a while, just, you know, so many loud booms unexpectedly.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like 2 a.m. and they're still going off, people still kaboom.
Dude,
I don't really hear it over my TV or anything, so it doesn't bother me.
I think I've watched it like 3 times now. There's a section on, it was Thursday night, Gotham Comedy Live, so it was happening July 3rd. Mm-hmm. Last Thursday with Jim Brewer. He was the host of the show.
Uh-huh.
He's fucking hilarious to me anyway because he fucking is so animated. And then he'll do the fucking... And he was talking about the 4th of July and how fucked
talking
up it's been.
Talking about the 4th of July.
About how fucked it's been because it's everybody is corporate this and corporate that. And he's like, and if you want to watch the fireworks, you got to... get there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to save your seat so you can see. We drove all the way from Wisconsin to see this. Wow, that was really I can't even do him. But I showed like a couple people. I literally was LOLing and like almost crying both times. Just he's so funny, and he was talking about football too, soccer, fucking World Cup this, World Cup that. I am on that train. I'm sick of the World Cup. Sick of it. What the fuck's the point? Can you get a fucking 0-0 and that's the end of the game? We already talked about that? Fucking pissed.
Yeah.
You can fucking go to the... You lose and you still go on to the next round?
I don't understand how, like, the clock keeps going after the game's done. They keep playing.
When's
and the
game
clock's
gonna be
still
over?
Going.
We're not sure when the game's going to be over. Dude, there's some stories I can't even believe. Fucking people selling their house and their fucking family to save the fucking World Cup teams and...
People what? Selling their family? Wow, that's nuts, dude.
You can do that in China.
Certainly. France.
Wait.
Well, in China.
Oh, in France.
All right.
A French soccer fan put his home and everything in it, including his wife and children, up for sale to raise money to keep the goalkeeper from the French league on the team. Guillermo Ocho had been, kicked off the team or something.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to raise a $13.5 million thing to stop him from being evicted from the team. Oh, because he's a free agent, and they didn't. The team didn't have the money to keep him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who? Why is soccer that important? Nobody.
Yeah, soccer is hugely important to a lot of people, a lot of nations. That is their sport, and then you got a world. You know, that's. It's apparently, like a war. It's like a war without the casualties, even though sometimes there are casualties.
And but, the World Cup doesn't happen every year, does it, or is it?
It's like a war that's okay to fight. Because you got nations
hooligans.
Against nations, right? And,
we got
and something
fighting.
That has a score.
Yep.
And, you know, there will be a winner at the end.
And but it's possibly a you know. Fucking beheaded ref.
Yeah.
On a stick. Remember that story from a couple years ago?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes there is.
How can they be so crazy? And I guess South Korea's team did really shitty. I guess South Korea did shitty. And then they come back and they were greeted not so nicely at the fucking Seoul Korea? At the Seoul airport. And they were pelted with toffees. And they were yelling, go eat a toffee, because in South Korea is an insult comparable to get lost or screw you. And they said they're lucky that the phrase wasn't go eat a bowling ball, because then they, you know, would have been pelted with bowling balls. But yeah, apparently there was a whole bunch of people lined up there and they all had toffees and they all threw them at the same time. I'd like to see that on video of just the soccer team getting off the plane and they're just pelted with toffees.
That would be weird.
What the fuck? Go eat a toffee. So if you see a South Korean person...
Are you sure it's not a toffee-fay?
No, go eat a toffee-fay. Dude, those things are good.
I'd be pelted with those.
Jeez, I'd just be opening my mouth.
You're eating them?
Yeah.
It's got the hazelnuts in them.
Popping them off their head like a soccer player would. Just like, boink, boink.
Other guys trying to catch them.
Yeah. So the president of the Football Association will be meeting with... some people to see if there's going to be like any charges against these people for pelting the team. Could you imagine assault with a assault with a tasty weapon?
Yeah, that is funny. Remember, it's been a while ago.
Been a while ago
that we talked about that song "Breakfast at Tiffany's." And
that's
you didn't
movie.
Remember what it was?
It's not a song, is it? It's a movie.
Yeah, this is the conversation we had.
Just say what is it? Yeah. You feel like you're having deja vu right now?
Yeah. Okay. Dude,
George
I heard
Costanza.
That song. It was on the last episode of Orange is the New Black. Remember in the van when they're driving back and that guy's like, man, that would suck to die in prison.
Oh, yeah, the guard.
And then, yeah, and then he starts singing, and then they all start singing. That's the fucking song.
And that's the same song that they were singing in the prison earlier in a different episode, isn't it? When everybody went to, like, a sing-along.
It was, I think so.
And that's what I thought, because when I heard that song being sang along, like, I'm fucking going, is Orange is the New Black turning into a musical right now? Because
yeah.
The whole fucking ward in the prison was singing this song. They all knew it. How'd they all know it? They've been in prison. They don't get to listen to the radio. I didn't recognize it. And then... when I heard that guy start singing it in the van, I was like, hey, wait, that's the same song. What's this song? So what's the
that's
song?
That's that song, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
By who?
It's by some 90s band. They had a video, and then it goes,
I remember that part. That's about the only part I do remember.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and then I was talking about...
And I said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? The cheese...
Is it the Beckham Bare Naked Ladies?
No, it's a one-hitter.
Okay, well, they were pretty one-hitty. But it's not counting...
Yeah, but
Chris.
They were more underground, though. I don't think anybody's still seen...
And see, I think when we talked about this before, I said I remembered it from Seinfeld, because... George had rented the old
Deep
movie.
Blue Something.
Is that the real name or is it?
That's
Deep
the
Blue
name of the band.
Okay, it's not Deep Blue Something. I mean, it is Deep Blue Something. It's not like Deep Blue Sea, but I can't remember the word sea, so I'm just saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Blue Something. No, I've never even heard of that band.
It's
but I have
rock.
Heard that song.
It's also in the genre of jangle pop.
Oh, that's jangly for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But see, Speaking of that, I associated that with Seinfeld, and then on July 5th was the 25th anniversary of the very first episode of Seinfeld.
I know, dude. It's fucking nuts.
Well, how old are we?
Dude,
Pink
when
Floyd,
I watched the fucking Season one, they had two episodes on of season one, Roseanne, the other day, like episode 5 and 6. That was 1988. That's 26 years ago.
What the fuck?
Fucking Clooney was on there. And I kept thinking of Clooney. I looked at him and I was like, fucking, all he really did was change his fucking hairstyle and fucking
and
shorten his burns a little bit. And he was fucking, all of a sudden, he was a fucking megastar.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Why?
Weird.
How sexier was he from that horror high school?
Exactly.
He played a fucking cop
or
something. But shit. Yeah. Time flies and I can't believe how long it's been.
Yeah.
Probably in 20 more years we're going. Remember when we used to do that podcast in 2014?
Dude, Saturday Night Live had a skit in 2010 where four friends sang that song, including Sudeikis, Hader, and Forte with Felipe.
Would bust into it every time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I remember that now.
Yeah.
It's coming back to me. And I wonder if that had anything to do with the... I wonder why. Is that just a pop culture one-hit wonder that people
just,
can... like when people can just all of a sudden be saying something and go, I get knocked down, I get up
just,
again.
Yeah,
and everybody can sing along because everybody
I think it was so
song.
Smothering all over the radio and everywhere at the time that it was... And it represents the 90s, kind of. It kind of represents that era because it was on the radio all the time.
Yep. It's one of those songs that was on the top 40 channel, so it was played every hour.
Yeah.
Or every couple hours.
And they said, one of the guys said about the promotion of the song, he said, because it had the word breakfast in the title, radio at the stations thought it would be genius to have us on at breakfast time.
Yeah. It's amazing how the lyrics of a song can be so important when it's tied into the right time of day.
Yeah.
On the right radio station at the right time to where just everybody's singing that song and then it becomes like a water cooler song to where you're at work and you're like, hey, did you hear that song? It's so fucking so annoying, but I just can't get it out of my head. The next thing you know, you're a fucking pop culture reference in a fucking sitcom 20 years later.
Yep. And it reached number one in the UK singles. But only hit number 3 in the U.S. It was popular all over. I think that, too, it was an international hit. Like, I don't know. Well, you could probably do Wonderwall. It would probably have the same effect. Right? Little later, maybe.
Yeah. I know that one more because I used to sing it at karaoke sometimes. But
yeah. Jangly pop is a genre of alternative rock from the mid-80s. That marked a return to the chiming or jangly guitars and pop melodies of the 60s, as exemplified by the Byrds,
and
with the electric 12-string guitars and power pop strong song structures.
And the band that did My Green Tambourine, that was jangly pop.
Mm-hmm.
My Green Tambourine. I never really knew that jangly pop was a thing, but that's cool.
Between 83 and 87, right?
Yeah.
Jangly pop in the U.S. described bands like R.E.M., Tom Petty, and Litz Active. Litz Active, you ever hear those guys?
Litz Active?
Litz Active. Like
so L-E-T.
Like lettuce.
That's incorrect.
Litz Active.
That is incorrect English. Litz Active. Litz Active like nothing's going on. Let's just sit here and act natural.
Mm-hmm. In 64, the Beatles' use of the jangly sound in the songs Hard Day's Night, What You're Doing, Ticket to Ride, and their cover of Buddy Holly's Words of Love encouraged many artists to use the jangle sound or purchase a Rickenbacker 12-string guitar.
What about Mr. Bo?
Mm-hmm.
Jangles.
Mr. Bo,
jangle pop.
Pop for me.
Jangle pop.
Yep. The Byrds began using similar guitars after seeing them played in Hard Day's Night. Other groups such as The Who and in their early mod years, the Beach Boys, the Hollies, Paul Revere, and the Raiders continued the use of 12-string Rickenbackers. The Byrds used styles Roger McGinnis' Rickenbacker 12-string in many recordings.
Made famous later by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yep. The etymological derivation of the term jangle is uncertain. It may be derived from the lyric, "In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you," from the Byrds cover of Bob Dylan's song, "Mr. Timberman."
That's pretty jangly, too.
Mm-hmm. Or it may be an onomatopoeia that refers to the chiming sound of a 12-string Rickenbacker's guitar's upper register strings.
It's really jangly.
Mm-hmm.
Those 12-string Rickenbackers are jangly.
Yep, it's very related to power pop, including bands like the Raspberries and Big Star, who blurred the lines between the two styles.
You sound like you're very well-versed in this fucking genre.
Jingle pop began an American post-punk movement of the mid-80s that marked a return to the chiming guitars and pop melodies in the 60s, if you remember the group Pylon.
Oh, I remember them. Hell, I fucking drove over them.
Yeah. They would influence members of the Athens, Georgia music scene, including R.E.M.
Well, what do you know?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yep, and then you had the New York City jangle pop scene. Remember those guys like the Smithereens and Willie Nile?
Willie Nile.
Yep.
No.
It was essentially a pop-based format.
One time I thought you said jingle pop, and that I thought was a tasty treat you could only get around Christmas time. Hey, Mom, will you pick me up 2 jingle pops?
You have another jangle pop band to enjoy large sales in America were the Bengals.
Oh, I thought they were Bangle Pop.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe because they were Jangle Pop, they said maybe you should call them the Bangles. Because they did have jangly guitars on them.
They did.
Walk like an Egyptian.
And did you know, according to this, Manic Monday is considered a glossy hit. They're known for their glossy hit.
They also did A Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel.
is that like a... A hazy shade of winter.
It's their most punk rock song ever, as far as Simon and Garfunkel goes. Time. And a hazy shade of winter. I don't know.
Bare Naked Ladies and the Tragically Hip had elements of jangle in their early material.
Well, what do you know? I mentioned those guys when I heard... Breakfast at Tiffany's. Okay.
Edie Bickrell and the New Bohemians.
Do you know who her husband is now?
Yeah. Peter Frampton.
No.
That's close, though.
That is close. Eric. No. He plays the banjo.
Glenn Close.
He plays the banjo.
Steve Martin.
Yeah. Steve Martin, and they make music. They make beautiful music together.
Yep. Close Lobsters.
And here's a weird thing. I wonder if she took his last name, because I ran into an old friend on my bike. I think I broke his foot. No, I'm just kidding. I just saw an old friend that I hadn't seen for a while that I used to go to school with, and his name was Corey Furlong. Mm-hmm. And I said, Corey Furlong. And he's like, actually, I got married and changed my name. I took her name. My name's Corey Love.
Ah.
And I said, wow. Like, almost, he corrected me so quickly, like, almost he wasn't really too stoked that he was ever a Furlong, maybe, or something, but... Anyway, that's weird. Would you get married and take someone else's name? It's the manly thing to just keep your fucking name, all right? Make the girl
that's keep...
You got the boy,
so that your name lives on, right?
You the one that has to give half when you get divorced, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Teenage Fan Club could be considered jangle pop. You ever much into those guys?
No, but I used to make fun of Pat Wombacher a lot for liking them.
I like
what's
one of their
wrong
albums,
with you?
Hello.
Yeah, we're back.
Hello.
And we're back. Yeah, he used to like them and the Lemonheads and some other.
I like Lemonheads.
I liked them kind of, but he was really into them. Like them, Teenage Fan Club, and the fucking Afghan Whigs, which I don't know if any of those bands are the same. They kind of
the
like
Lemonheads,
that.
Too, they got that song, Big Gay Heart.
Yeah. Big Gay Heart. That's a pretty manly song.
It's so country, too, which is funny because it's like it's ironic that a country song would sing about
being
cool, about him being gay.
Yeah, because most of the country people don't like them faggots.
Yep. And then he's talking about sucking dick in a country song. I always thought that was funny. I always thought that's fucking humorous.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't hear a lot of country songs sing about sucking dick.
Yeah. That goes on in the Shield, man. Fucking, dude. Fucking.
Some dick sucking?
Dude, that show fucking is gruesome at times, man. Just like fucking, it's visually fucking disturbing.
Nice.
Like, well, he's fucking, this cop goes in on his own, right? He's like the chief. Yeah. Imagine the chief, right?
Right.
He's kind of got some stuff going down on the low, so he just kind of goes into this situation by himself, you right. know, against two guys, and he's got him. He's got one of the guys, like, you know, down on the ground, but then this other guy comes behind him and then fucking attacks him, and so it's two on one, and they get his gun, and fucking one of the guys fucking makes the captain suck his dick with a gun to his head.
That's the funnest way to suck a dick.
Dude,
if anyone out there has ever sucked a dick, yep. you've got to try it with a gun to your head, because you're so yep. much more attentive to your dick's needs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
And so I was like, you know, like, never see his family again and die with a gun to his head, or a fucking rough situation.
It sounds like a rough situation.
You know, and it's just fucking... It is a cool show. I like it.
I'm going to have to maybe check it out. Is it not on Netflix or what?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's not right now. But you know what is on Netflix?
Movies?
Movies.
What were you really going to say?
That's what I was going to say.
No,
I didn't have anything. I was looking at new releases the other day on Netflix, though. But I didn't...
Hey, well, I did want to mention this because I've been mentioning it the last few weeks. Going on up in Portland has been the Portland's Funniest Person competition at Helium. And I'm going to brag on myself here for a second.
I know who's going to win.
I bet you do.
Roseanne.
Oh, she's not in it. No, I'm talking Portland's Funniest Person.
I know.
So there's 39 semifinalists out of 150.
39 out of 150.
I guessed 22.
22 of 39.
Yeah, out of 150.
That is...
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is...
there was 150 to choose from.
Out of 39. That's
more than half.
55%.
Yeah. And there was 150 to choose from. And here's the other thing that I would like to brag about.
Our
buddy, Patrick Thomas Perkins, made it through.
Right on, PTP.
You know who was on that night? Don Frost.
I like that.
Don Frost didn't make it that night, and Patrick...
What?
That's what I'm saying.
What about Jim Remy?
Jim didn't do it. Big Jim Rennie was not in the competition, just like I wasn't.
What's up, Jim? Come on, get in there.
I didn't do it. Scoot Herring made it through. Here's the people I knew was going to make it, like Anthony Lopez and Stephanie Pardle. She made it through. Mm-hmm. Sean C. Connery, who's not really Sean Connery, but Todd Armstrong. I knew he was going to make it through. A ton of others that I knew. Dan Weber, who we recently had down there at the Grand Clam Comedy Poop Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Cook, a kind of new guy in Portland, he made it through, and Adam Posse. All these guys have a chance at $1,000 that's coming up for four nights of semifinals. I think it's 10 people, three nights and nine on the other. But yeah, congratulations to all the comics who made it through.
Go PTP!
That's right. I'm rooting for him. And Jason Traeger, he made
Thumbs
it through.
Up like.
And I recently heard Jason Traeger, who is a photographer. He documents, and he's also a comic. He documents the comedy scene with awesome black and white photos of the comics.
How do you photograph a joke? That's what I would like to discuss that with him.
Well, here's the cool thing. I heard him on a podcast recently. Uh-huh. Actually, it's a radio show with Shane Torres, another awesome local comic. He used to be working at fucking Alternative Tentacle Records with fucking Jello Biafra, and he toured with fucking 7 Seconds. And, like, I had met this guy once at the Red Room at the open mic. And, dude, he's a whole other person.
Yeah.
He's lived a life, and now he's our age, in between you and my age. And now he's just a Portland comic who's, not really trying to make it. I mean, he's trying to win this contest, of course, but congratulations to Jason and PTP and Anthony Lopez, all you guys. Good job. I'm going to come back next year and kick all your asses, just in case you didn't know. And where are we? I'm trying to find something new here.
What are you trying to find?
What's in Hans's CD player? Isn't this a song we used to use? Oh, it starts right here.
In Hans's CD player.
Hey, remember this? We're going back because it's throwback Wednesday.
Oh,
J. John Mayer. Monday Mayer.
Yep.
I had to text Hans and say, hey. I said, hey, Hans, what's in your CD player? And he said, I texted you earlier. I never got it later. Please text it again because your fucking phone's a piece of shit or something. So anyway, he's listening to Sanctum today.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're going to do a double because we mentioned before, our 4th of July show was actually on Monday. And so this is Wednesday and then Friday. So Monday, really, which was the 4th of July show, he was listening to Sanctum on the horizon. Yeah. But today he's listening to the Backyard Babies. Who's that? Could you Google that? The Backyard,
Babies.
Has that been in his CD player before? Hey, does anyone pay attention? Is anyone paying attention right now? Are you listening to us? Not you. Oh. I'm talking about the listeners. Do you guys remember? Have you ever heard of the Backyard? Making Enemies is Good. That's the name of the album he's listening to today.
Backyard Babies.
But back to Sanctum. Sanctum was a band he was listening to on Monday. I actually was supposed to open for the guys. Sanctum, and the show got canceled.
They're from Nasjo, Sweden.
Backyard Babies?
Glam punk.
Backyard Babies. Mm-hmm.
That's their label is Billion Dollar Babies.
Billion Dollar Babies. Are they produced by Alice Cooper?
They're associated with Super Shit 666.
What? Super Shit 666? That's my second favorite band.
Dude, that's awesome.
Hans, have you ever heard of Super Shit 666? Because I know that's never been in your CD player, because I would have known.
Dude, Backyard Babies have won a Swedish Grammy, dude.
How much does a Swedish Grammy weigh?
The Grammy.
Backyard Babies. How did that
happen? They formed in 87 and they've released 6 studio albums, and now they're located in Stockholm, Sweden, because they got the syndrome.
Well, Stockholm.
They are largely attributed with the popularizing sleaze rock in Scandinavia and Sweden, inspiring a scene that continues to grow today. They are a big influence on the current upsurge in sleaze rock in the UK unsigned scene. Their single Minus Celsius appears as a playable bonus track in Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, and Degenerated is available as a downloadable song for Guitar Hero World History World Tour. In the sub, it did in.
Back of Yacht Babies. Hans is listening to them. Okay. Enough of that.
They were once called Tyrant, and they had a self released debut EP called Something to Swallow.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was listening to, was some Jimi Hendrix, because I kind of had been on a Hendrix kick, and I was listening to him a couple weeks ago, but not on my turntable. I was listening to him on my phone here.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded a box set. It's called the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like 60 songs or 50 or something. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a bunch of songs that I hadn't heard on it before. So that was like probably two of my days at least. So we'll count that for today and for Monday that I was listening to the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set, which I think came out in the late 90s or something, but somehow I was too poor to buy it. I remember seeing it in the stores. We were talking earlier about how expensive box sets can be.
Box sets can be
But it's got him doing songs like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, some other covers like Gloria and some Elvis songs like Blue Suede Shoes, and he does Johnny Be Good, and then he does a bunch of these outtakes of it's weird, and then a song called In From the Storm, which
In From the Storm,
friend of the podcast and hopefully return guest Jerry Murphy someday, maybe if he comes back. He texted me and said, hey, this song In From the Storm by Jimi Hendrix,
In From the Storm,
I think that your band should do it. He said he thinks Bikini should do it, but I don't think it would work. I'm sorry. I listened to it. It's not really Bikini material.
How's that? What do you think of that new Slash song?
I haven't
Miles
heard it.
Kennedy.
Is there a new one new?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I would. Maybe I might like it if I tried.
It's Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the something or others.
That's the name of the band?
And something or others. Or, no, it's Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Like Deep Blue something.
So you got one name and then a second name on there and then the rest of the band.
Okay.
Yeah, Slash featuring Miles Kennedy.
And this band.
Yeah.
Why don't they just name it fucking...
Well, whose band is it? Is
Anderson, Brubeck, Wakeman, and Howe. We've got four people in the band.
Is it Slash with Miles Kennedy and his band, or is it Slash and his band with Miles Kennedy?
It's Hagar, Shone, Aronson, and Shreve. We just have four names, Crosby, Stills, Nash, mm-hmm. and we don't know, we can't think of a name of the band, and none of us don't want to have our name in.
Mm-hmm.
We all want our name in, so let's just call the band our four last names.
Mm-hmm. Did you know the Backyard Babies? They had a B-side on one of their singles featuring a duet with frontman Michael Monroe.
A duet?
You know that guy?
Michael Monroe?
Yeah. From Hana Rock.
No, is that the guy that Vince Neil killed?
No, I doubt it. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, he killed the drummer.
He didn't kill him in 97.
No, he killed him in 85.
Yeah.
So he came back from the dead. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, dude. I think he did.
No, I think that he killed the drummer because he mm-hmm. hates drummers. Vince Neil hates drummers. Yep. He tried to kill Tommy Lee once, but Tommy Lee's dick was too big. he talks like the guys from Death Clocks. Tommy Lee's dicks was too big. Hey, we got a big list of birthdays. I'm just going to rip them off real quick. We were just talking about Jimi Hendrix. We got Mitch Mitchell, birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
Courtney Love, birthday today. Bitch.
Happy birthday.
Frank Bello from Anthrax.
Happy birthday.
Jack White.
Happy birthday.
And Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse.
Happy birthday.
He lives in Oregon.
Happy birthday.
That's it.
Happy birthday.
That's it.
Happy birthday.
I just had a list and I wanted to do it real quick.
Speaking of birthdays.
Fuck birthdays. I hate them.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like if Carrot Top was in The Matrix? Like if he played Keanu Reeves' role?
No, and I'm thinking about it right now. And it's making me sound like I don't know what to say.
Well, he was never offered that role, but Will Smith was, and he turned it down. Will Smith could have been Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, who do you think got the better end of the deal, though?
Will Smith. He makes more money.
Yeah, but
that
Keanu... 40,
that 47...
Just think...
How many Ronin...
If Will Smith... would have taken that role and Keanu wouldn't have gotten it,
mm-hmm.
it would have not only been okay for Will Smith's career and probably boost it, but it would have been detrimental to Keanu Reeves' success.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't the dude from The Matrix, what else would he be known for that was so awesome? Nothing, except for Bill.
Yeah, but he was already kind of like a pop culture status at that before that, though.
Oh, I know, but there's just a thing about him.
It's just over. Yeah, now it's blue pill, red pill, the 47 Ronin or whatever, dude. That movie was done.
I heard a lot of people saying they tried to watch it and they could only get like 9 minutes in then. And they had to shut it off.
It was dumb.
Why?
It was fucking... dumb.
It was
just the story was so
dumb.
It just fucking wasn't worth watching. I would have stopped. I wouldn't have watched it unless I needed to. But I was over. It was a holiday, family's house. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch it either. You know what I normally wouldn't watch either is Big Brother, but I've been watching it because I got sucked into it by my family.
Don't do it, dude. Don't tell me you're into it. And you're
I'm not into it. I don't know if I'll watch
it. Oh, you're so into it.
Oh, I just know who got
voted
off.
You're starting a podcast on it and everything.
No. No, I do need to start up my other podcast again because it kind of stopped without even noticing. I was having troubles with money and I couldn't get to people and I couldn't get no one to come and do interviews. Like you and me know, it's fucking hard to get people. No one ever wants to come on our show anymore.
No.
And people want to come on my show and this show, but they want us to come to them. And when I can't go to them, then they just say, fuck it, I don't want to be on your show then. Except for the last guy.
But they got to come to the goddamn studio.
I know. I had it all set up, too, and we did the one. It was cool. Thank you, James Duhame, which we call James Blame, because that's a studio name. And damn, that rhymed like a train. That could be a fucking rap song. Anyway, they got a movie coming out called Coping with Comedy, and it's going to be screened at the Bijou, I believe, or the David Minor Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't be out this year. Maybe by the end of the year. But I'd like to thank James
by the end
for being on the show. And if anybody else wants to be on the show, you got to come up to Brownsville probably. Unless, you know, maybe I might do some interviews out at the Oregon Country Fair, which since it is Wednesday on this episode, I'm headed out there right now. Mm-hmm. I'm headed out there. Maybe I'll see Artist the Spoon Man.
Here's some other roles that were turned down. Did you know Fork Hands turned down the role of Spoon Man?
I thought you were going to say of Edward Scissorhands.
Nope, Fork Hands.
No, I heard
it could have been Fork Hands.
I heard that Spoon Man, Artist the Spoon Man, actually turned down the role of Edward Scissorhands because he thought that it would fuck up his reputation as a Spoon Man. And fortunately for Johnny Depp, he turned down the role for Depp Woods 5. Depp, what? I don't know. I blew that
one. You know, fucking Spoon Man, he started with forks, but his legs are taking a fucking punishment.
They were taking a, you'd fucking, say a beating, but they were taking a poking.
Yep.
Fork Man, fork your eyes out with his hand. He got sued, and he's like, I better go with spoons.
Dude, I don't know. I'm glad that guy gets more out of it from that song, but dude, that song was fucking horrid. Horridly overplayed at the very least.
Did you hate the song, or did you just hate the fact that you heard it so many times?
Because I hate the fact that I heard that album so many times, although...
Did you know they just recently re-released it with fucking bonus unreleased material?
It was, I wish they'd re-release Satan Oscillate, my Metallic Sonatus.
I think they're gonna.
I don't. We've
been talking about it. That's Psalms. That's called a fucking... What do you call
palindrome?
Yes, thank you. I can't even
Satan think Oscillate my Metallic Sonatus.
A lot of people. Sonatas. I told Jimmy Lauderdale Lodestone that, and he thought that was just great because he loves palindromes, and that's a pretty long, intense one.
And hey, it is.
And whoever thought that?
You know what is another long palindrome?
Sit on a pan, Otis.
Mom.
That's a short one, dude.
But it's a double palindrome.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because it's mom, and then you can go upside down. It's wow.
Sit on a pan, Otis. That's pretty long.
Sit on a pan, Otis.
I learned that as a child.
Sit up on a pan, poo, Otis.
I don't know if that's going to work right. I don't know if that's going to work right.
What if the guy's name was Poo Otis?
That would be Otis. Sit that would be Poo. That'd be...
It'd be Oputus.
Oputus.
Oputus. That's his name.
That would not work.
Here's some other roles turned down. Could you imagine
Cinnamon.
Ralph Macchio as Marty McFly?
Was this after The Karate Kid?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Oh, God, that would be terrible then.
I think it'd be after the first one, but maybe he was filming Karate Kid at the time. Because he had The Outsiders and stuff, right? I mean, he was... It would have been he probably had the choice between that and Karate Kid, what franchise he wanted to start.
Do you think the executives who made the movie Karate Kid actually pronounced it Karate Kid, or did they pronounce it incorrectly and call it, we're making this movie called Karate Kid, and it's going to have the dude from Happy Days, you know, the guy that bought the fucking place that Hans used, you know, Arnold. It's going to have Arnold on there, and... He's going to be the sensei, you see, and he's going to have the guy wax his floor, and we're going to call it Karate Kid.
Like, no, you must I thought they were going to call it Ninja Danielson.
Karate. They should come out with Crossroads and Karate Kid mixed, where he actually fights Steve Vai instead of having a guitar off, because that's what they had.
Yeah.
What other roles were turned down besides a cinnamon roll?
Michelle Pfeiffer turned down Clarice.
Oh. I think that would have been another one of those which would have helped Michelle but been detrimental to Jodie.
Yeah, she would have never went on to play Nell.
She might have came out of the closet sooner.
Yeah. Come out of the closet.
Sooner.
I think we said this one before, but it was Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones.
Oh, that would have been horrible. I don't think Indiana Jones would have been as popular.
No, and Gary Coleman probably would have got a short round.
No way. Hey, they were having a... Speaking of short round, people used to say that the guy from Walking Dead was short round grown up, but it's not.
What? Like, not like he's grown up now?
Yeah. They were saying
he
that
was
that
a,
was...
He was like almost an adult then, wasn't he?
I know. But there was a big old Walking Dead marathon, so I think season 5...
Dead, White, and Blue.
I think the new season's coming up.
It was just Dead, White, and Blue
weekend. There was a season 5 trailer, or teaser episode of Talking Dead with Chris Dark Dick. Or Softwick.
Chris Dark Dick.
Chris Softwick. He's got to do something because At Midnight's off, and if he doesn't have like 6 shows going on at the same time, he doesn't know what to do.
He's bringing back Singled Out.
He should.
Him and Jenny McCarthy, they're both, what are they doing?
She just had some stupid fucking stand-up show when she's not a comedian. And she had like Tammy Pascatelli and some of the ruder, kind of Lisa Lampanelli-ish type of female comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stupid.
Name an actor you'd like to see play Han Solo. If Han Solo didn't play Han Solo.
Henry Winkler.
Close. Christopher Walken was first offered that role, I think. Imagine him.
That would bring a whole new light on the whole.
I know. Shut up, Chewie.
I don't even know any of Harrison's lines.
I know. I don't even know if that's a line.
Except for when he said, I know.
He's on the job you're looking for.
I love you, Han. I know.
There's another one that would have been crazy. Imagine Johnny Depp.
All right.
As
in Depp Space Nine.
Ferris Bueller, Day Off. Imagine Johnny Depp as Ferris Bueller singing Donka Shane on a float.
I wonder if he'd be nerdish in that or if he'd still have to act cool because that's just how he's kind of cool.
What, he would have went a completely different way, though, don't you think?
Probably.
And Matthew Broderick would have never been.
He was so nerdy.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the guy from Undateable.
He looks weird now. He looks weirdly different.
Oh, Undateable's over your favorite show. You know who turned down that role?
Who's that?
Ron Funches. Just kidding.
Are they renewed? They already get renewed?
I don't think they know yet. They just had it said, watch tonight if you want to see more. Because that was Ron Funches' campaign. You got to have. It is the number. It was the number one NBC comedy, I guess. Number one.
We don't have any other comedies on that night.
That's why they have. Well, not of the night, of the season.
Oh.
For 5 years, actually.
It was only a half season, though, wasn't it?
No, it was a full season, 13 episodes. Just packed all in.
It was the highest rated above the final season, The Office.
No.
The highest new show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It might all be propaganda.
Parks and Rec. What else you got the last 5 years on NBC? You got, they had that one show, Outsourced. Remember that one?
Kinda. I don't think I ever watched
it. Fucking horrible. I was glad those actors were getting a job, but fucking, that was horrible. come on. They're all in India, like their customer service for a novelty shop.
They're outsourced.
Dude, that, it was all just India jokes.
Hey, we hope you guys are enjoying this fucking hot weather. I'm sweating. Like
and then
trigger.
What do you got? What else did they have in the last 5 years?
Nothing good.
It's probably since Parks and Rec and The Office. I think Parks and Rec did pretty good that first year.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about new.
Oh, I know. In the last 5 years, I'm talking about like since then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Parks and Rec was probably that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of shows that bombed from since then.
They got canceled like halfway through the first season.
Dads. That was on Fox, though. With fucking...
Fox is famous
Jamie
for canceled.
Kennedy.
Oh, God. Why is he so horrible?
Or was it the other guy? Seth
Green?
Yeah. I don't ever know which one's which.
Seth Green is more redheaded.
Right.
Jamie Kennedy is just more stupid. Seth Green's actually pretty smart.
I think it was Seth Green.
Seth Green's the guy that was he's the robot chicken guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think he was on that show Dads with Martin Mull and another
Hey, if you guys are coming out to the Oregon Country Fair this weekend, hit me up on Facebook. Maybe we can meet up somewhere. I'll be out in Bonita there. It's Wednesday. Remember still, we better wrap this episode up. So
yeah, I got a few more rolls turned down.
Okay, well then I'm going to let you do that as soon as I tell everybody. Right. Come to the fair, because that's where I'm going as soon as we get done with this episode. Okay, go ahead. More rolls.
Tom Hanks as Andy Dufresne.
Ooh, that would be horrible.
You don't like Tom Hanks as Andy Dufresne?
No, I
just... I'm Tom Hanks, and I'm drilling a hole behind a poster with a little jeweler's rock hammer.
I don't think I'd like it.
Get away from me, Andy Dufresne.
What if he played that guy that Timothy Robbins played in the Tenacious D movie, Tom Hanks? The one-legged guy that showed him how to get into the Rock and Roll History Museum.
I can see that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny. But Tom Hanks, he's too grown up for that now.
He's big.
Yeah, he's a big Wilson.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
What'd he turn down?
He could have been in American Psycho.
Oh, well, another one of those. Most of these to me sound like the person who turned down the role did all right anyway, but if they wouldn't have turned it down, Christian Bale wouldn't have been as awesome as he is without that movie.
Yeah, that might be true. That was kind of
kind of the defining movies that make everybody say Christian Bale's awesome, and now anything he does is awesome, even if it wasn't.
I thought that was a great movie, but I wasn't sold on Bale until Machinist.
Yeah, he took one for that role though.
Yeah, dude, that movie fucking
pretty heavy. If you haven't,
I was
seen,
never really truly sold on Christian Bale even today.
I'm still not, but I'm talking about the people who love him for what they love him for. Mostly love him for American Psycho and all the machines.
It's so cool to love a movie that's so twisted and fucked up, though.
Yeah.
What about American Beauty? Kevin Spacey, right?
Loved that movie.
A great movie. But Kevin Spacey was already kind of a name from The Usual Suspects when he played Kaz's. So say spoiler alert.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
We might hit the 7-second skip button on that one.
Yep.
Usual Suspects.
Now imagine American Beauty, right? Great film.
Yep.
Right? And you get to see that one chick, Mina Savaria's, her boobies.
Yep.
Right?
Before she got tweaked out and spun.
Mm-hmm. And, right, okay, so in American Beauty, imagine Chevy Chase.
That would have been terrible.
I know, that's what I thought. I was like, what? That
he
would be weird.
Chevy, this to me, has no ability to be a serious actor. He's so fucking slapstick kind of all the time. I mean, I've never seen him in
a... Now he was on a guest spot on Hot in Cleveland, I heard.
But did he act serious?
I don't know. Not in Hot in Cleveland. That's not a serial show, is it?
It's not Serioso. It's not a Serioso show.
I sometimes catch the beginning of that show when I was watching a show that was on right before that show.
Yeah? Was it called That Show?
It's one of those. It's like King of Queens or something.
Oh, that show.
Know. It's like that time slot when nothing is on.
Yeah.
Like the 7 to 8.
Except for the show that's on.
Yeah, and then you got fucking that other show. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another role turned down. I turned down the role that Daniel Day-Lewis played in The Last of the Mohicans.
Damn, dude, you could have been a star.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? How long has it been since that movie came out?
30 years.
Probably. I've never seen that movie.
What?
I've never seen that movie.
You've seen Indian in the Cupboard, though, right?
I saw that movie at the theater.
Okay.
Stoned off my ass after eating at Izzy's.
Oh.
With Pat Wambacka.
Great memory.
And Brian Langthrope.
Well. We recently didn't find him on Facebook, but it looked kind of like him. Really.
It was weird, but there's too many things going weird.
It was
on
like if he would have been a different person and would have like been a church guy or something. But you could see like
military Republican.
He fucking had some fucking facial things that looked like him. It's fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's listening who knows where Stoked Brian is right now, fucking send us a message. I don't know if anyone even listens anymore. You guys listening?
Yeah, you listen.
Who's listening?
Give us
a fucking message on our fucking something. I don't even know. Because the fact that you're not listening is because our website was down for a few days.
You could probably
weeks.
Find them at 1995 on some website, they'll give you an address where he lives.
Yeah, possibly. But here's my thing, you guys. Check us out. Respond to us. Let us know you're listening. Because we're not going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
I love you, Hans. Love you, Pierre. I know you guys are both listening. And Carrie. That's our three constant listeners. But we need a bigger audience.
I think we have more. They just don't speak up.
Well, speak up!
Speak up. Let us know you're listening at least.
That's right. And if we ever get our websites back up and running, which we will, you go to them, all right? Mm-hmm. And give us money and stuff and do that. Because Floyd, what's up? Floyd was stoked about the Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he liked it so much because his name is Floyd, but...
Oh, I forgot a role that was turned down.
Oh, do it quick.
Turns down that I heard Hans turned down the role of James Hetfield in Some Kind of Monster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the second role he turned down. You might not have heard.
What?
Earlier in life, Hans turned down the role of Arthur Honzarelli on Happy Days.
Oh, man. But, that would have been huge. Because that launched Henry Winkler into a whole slew of Adam Sandler movies. See,
Hans was going to do it, but then he found out he was going to have to learn how to ride a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, fuck that.
And change his name to Hans Lee Winkler.
Yeah. Arthur Honzarelli.
I like that.
How you doing, Arthur? Can we just call you Hans? Hey, it's the Hans. Yep.
Everybody needs a good jukebox, too, to slap around.
Oh, man. He could just blow on his palm. Snap his fingers. Girls come running.
Will Joan Jett ever update her song? Because what jukebox costs a dime these days?
You can't even get a tenth of a song. Some songs cost 2 credits.
Put another 50 cents in the jukebox.
Sometimes
now,
you have to
pitch.
Dude.
I know. If dollars only accepted.
They have a category now that if it's the most played songs, then
it costs more?
No, they're less.
Oh, that's even worse.
So it encourages you to choose shitty songs. And so people
So Nickelback's like actually a nickel.
No, they're a dollar. They're 1 credit, which I think might be...
With 3 for $1.
Yeah, but some of them are 2, so you got to pay 66 cents to hear a song, but... God, what is this world coming to? If it's most played, it costs less.
I know. That's making the rich richer.
Yeah, and the poor in personality and be coolness be poorer in coolness.
I wonder how much they get. They probably get like a 7 cents per play if they're getting.
God, if they're lucky, couldn't be much more than that. All right, let's get out of here. It's 90 degrees. Go swimming or something. We'll see you on Friday. We're going to knock you into the lake.
Yep, we're going to rock you in the lake.
That's right, metal.
Right on.